You've got a pretty good record of remote viewing with some tremendous accuracy. So, Winter, I've got this little website up called caravantomidnight.com. I just thought it was groovy. I'm just all about Caravan to Midnight.
And, I love it.
Well, I got a hold of some guys in Europe who got a hold of some guys in Eastern Europe, and we have some Russian made Geiger counter, single tube and dual tube and all of that. I don't much like the idea of being GPS'd everywhere I go, so I'm going to add GPS jammers and cell phone jammers and everything else that's annoying. But I was curious about something, and of course this can be construed as, Wells is just trying to hawk some more of his product. It's like, trust me, it's not like a cash cow, okay? I'm just trying to get people prepared, and I really mean that. What do you see? We got this test coming up on November the 9th. Supposedly, it's going to happen 2 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Central, 11 o'clock Pacific on Wednesday the 9th. And generally, these, they're going to seize the TV and the radio bands. I mean, the whole bloody thing is what they say. And it'll be interesting to see if the internet goes down also, because then we'll know something, won't we? But typically, these things are precursor to an event. What do you see? You see anything? What's your crystal ball say, or whatever it is you look into as a practicing Satanist?
Well, it's short term. November, and that is when they're going to do the emergency broadcast system test. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yes. The emergency broadcast test, I think it's something where they're going to grasp across all lines. I'm looking at it now. I do not see any real upheaval. I think it's just going to be a come-and-go test. And I think by probably February, we'll have some kind of earthquake. So we'll see what's going on with that. But that's my intuition. I think it's just going to be a come-and-go event. I think it's amazing, well, not amazing, or just weird, that they're taking over exactly all of the information, satellite, radio, internet, all this for this crazy emergency broadcast thing. I mean, unless it's global, or unless they have some alien invasion, but I don't foresee any type of global event that would necessarily precurse that, at least not right now. But I do think an earthquake is on the horizon. But that could be a generalized take on things, because it's a vague thing. But I do actually feel an earthquake around in February. That may not happen. I don't know. But I do not think that the emergency broadcast test is going to precurse anything, at least immediately.
Okay. Good. I don't really want one. You know what I mean? I don't want an event. I mean, there's something to be said for boredom.
I just don't. I mean, my intuition is pretty damn good, especially short term. I mean, I'm pretty good at looking. I'm looking at all November. I think it's going to be pretty calm. I don't think there's going to be anything too crazy going on.
Good, good. All right. Well, let us hope. And in the meantime, prepare. And
the Osama bin Laden event was huge. I did say he was alive. Ingo Swann said he was dead years ago. That caused some debate. And there was a series of other psychics that were always hounding me because I said he's alive, he's in a house, or he's somewhere. He's either in Pakistan or Saudi Arabia. And everyone was always hounding me. And then, like, in that February date, and then, like, short term, he was dead. They, like, went and got him. So it was really bizarre.
You know, that guy sure aged a lot in just in 10 years. It looked like he aged 30 years.
I know. He's just drinking Coca-Cola and Chiclets. That's all he's doing. He's hanging out watching TV, didn't think anybody was coming. Well, they were coming. But it was odd because an event came after that kind of perked my ears up. SEAL Team 6 got wiped out. Shortly after that, they wiped out him. So that was always weird with me, because the copter went up and they were in Afghanistan, and then they got RPG'd down. They were all killed. It was like 15 or something of the Great SEALs, Team 6. And that was just kind of shocking, because those guys are hardcore. And it just seemed like such a petty way to die, even though a lot of people don't know about that. But
Yeah, that was a rough hit. It was, for sure.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, it makes your conspiratorial ears perk up. It's like, really? I mean, what's going on,
So. Well, yeah, and then all this drone assaults. They got Anwar al-Awlaki, 2 weeks later, and then his kid a week after that. And then it was Gaddafi. So I wonder who's next on the list.
I know. But they won't mess with Syria. And there's a lot of odd things going on with the drone thing, as I said earlier. I mean, the drone thing is scary because it's just this phenomenon. But if they start running themselves, then we create our own destruction. They become sentient.
Yeah, I mean, it turns into Terminator, man versus the machines. Well, I hope those guys aren't also prophets as well as, but you know what? They seem to be, just like Jules Verne.
They're so into it. They spent a lot of money on it. I mean, during the whole Stargate thing, they spent millions of dollars, and it was the reciprocity with the Russian government, and there's a lot of things that went on there. I mean, they investigated it, and so they became their own prophets.
Let's take one of these wild card guys. You want to?
Sure.
Carlos has been hanging in there from Carson, California for a while. So come on up on the bridge, Carlos, if you're there.
Yes. Good evening. Mr. Winter here.
Hey, Carlos.
You characterized the... Hello.
You hey, characterized, Carlos. How you doing?
Pretty good, sir. You characterized humanity as being inherently evil. But I think, really, the preponderance of evil comes from a select group of very powerful people called the Illuminati, who have financed every war the United States, both sides of every war the United States has been involved in the last 200 years. They've also set up the economical collapse of the world, and they're about to co-opt all these Occupy movements, all these gullible people. They're going to lead them into anarchy by the range of provocateurs, which will justify the implementation of emergency laws, setting the stage for a police state, which is what the Illuminati wants. And they're blaming humanity for destruction, when in reality they are the destructionists. People are inherently good.
Yeah, I mean, what Illuminati is like one of my favorite words. You have to have $1 billion just to get in the door. And it's a concept group, which is global. They would benefit from collapsing certain elements. It wouldn't surprise me if the 99% were controlled by the 1%, which is obviously happening. I mean, I could be considered a Illuminatist. Do I want to see global collapse or destruction of the grid? It wouldn't benefit me at all. I mean, I couldn't drive my expensive car and go get my $4 cup of coffee. So I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. I do know that there are people out there that are in this type of destruction, you know, to down it and then to gain. And they often do it in the stock market, ironically, by shorting out businesses or stocks, acquisitions, and so on. I mean, I call it murders and acquisitions. But I do know what you're saying. That's a topic for another day, and it's long and arduous. But, yes, those people do exist. And they do have intent. I do not feel that they have the power to usurp the entire situation, because there are people like me or others that are not interested in going that direction. You know, I like democracy, or as Mr. Wells has stated earlier, we're not in a true democracy, but I like living in a certain standard and having an existence where food is at the store and I can just go down and get it. And it would just be a huge nightmare if it was the other direction.
Absolutely. You know, just in a trip to Europe, matter of fact, it was, I went to see this big dance show called Sensation. I was the voice of the arena voice and the commercials and everything else for about 10
awesome.
Years. It was a lot of fun. You know that show?
You've got a great voice. I mean,
oh, thanks.
You write the radio voice.
Well, yeah, but I don't sound like Nicholson, man, and you do. You know, actually, you sound better than Nicholson. Nicholson wishes he sounded like you.
I said this before. I've met him. He's a very funny guy.
He seems like he'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, he's just a funny guy.
But, you know, I went into a grocery store there, and if you don't get there, it was a nice grocery store. But if you come there after about 5 o'clock, there's hardly anything on the shelves. The meat's gone. The bread's gone. Won't have any more of that until tomorrow when the deliveries come and so forth. And it was just a little taste of what it was like, or what it would be like, to go into a big supermarket and there's just not really very much there.
Yeah, who wants that? I mean, that's Katrina, you know? I mean, they run on the store. There's nothing in stock. They need the trucks to come in, and it's not counted correctly. I mean, we live in a culture in America, the United States, where we want for nothing. You know, I mean, we can go down to our Walgreens or 24-hour place, and we can get anything we want, and it's right there. I don't want to see that end.
Yeah, there are going to be a lot of irritated people if that all of a sudden stops. So let's talk to Marie in Toronto. She's been holding for a while, and then I want to know about the man with no face after her call. So Okay. Come on in, Maria, talk to us. Marie, sorry.
Hello.
Yes. Good evening.
Hi.
Good morning.
I agree with everything you said, John, about democracy. We really don't live in a democracy. I don't have any freedom. My life is so controlled, it's a joke. And I like everything you said. I heard you in September, and I find you're like a breath of fresh air, you know, with the information you're telling everybody. And we need more people like you. So people, hello?
Yes, the people aren't informed. Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get many people like me, you know, who are at a certain station in blah, blah world or whatever the money is or whatever, because, you know, money is power. And when you have money, you can, you know, be a part of any group or, you know, rub shoulders with anyone you want or whatever. And, you know, I'm a practitioner of black magic, so I pretty much do and say whatever I want, and that is my own. I created my own liberation from that.
All right, I'll tell you what. Let's take a little break. We have to take one sooner or later. Otherwise, it's going to be a marathon of commercials, which we hope you will patronize our sponsors. They are the ones who allow us to remain on the air, quite frankly. Otherwise, you know, it might be really inconvenient to try and tune us in. So we'll continue our conversation with Winter Lake when we come back. I'm John B. Wells, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Well, we're back with Winter Lake, and you know, thanks very much for being with us tonight. This is a real pleasure to talk to you. Although,
awesome.
I'm not picking up hardcore evil from you at all. I'm really not.
I you know, that's great. I'm not trying to bring that all here. So
excellent. Now, who is the man with no face?
Okay, the man with no face is a German psychic during World War II who I feel was Hanhausen. They said they assassinated Hanhausen, who was Hitler's personal psychic. I do not think that occurred. I think he escaped to Russia, where he began working with Stalin and undermined Hitler from there. And then after Hitler and the German Reich was gone, began a campaign of continued psychic research, and he is a very powerful psychic that set a lot of the current trends and experiments of remote viewing and so on and so on. Like Stalin gave the man with no face, who I've revealed personally to feel that is Hanhausen, who was this major player psychic during the Third Reich, and you know, Stalin said, well, go rob this bank. And so what the man with no face did, he went into the bank, he influenced the teller. The teller gave him all this money, and then he went through Stalin's compound. He was not seen, but he was walking through this compound. So he had the ability to shield himself from human view through certain kind of influencing and also get all this money from the bank and appear to Stalin. And Stalin saw him, and then he gave Stalin all this money. So he was a mastermind psychic, and he was an opportunist who knew exactly what role to play, when to play it. And then later, he was even involved in some of the undermining of Stalin and so on and so on. But he was in ill health and then died. But there was a major, he was a major player, and I think a foundation to a lot of the psychic research that has gone on in Russia to this day. And Russia was the major area for that research.
And his name again is what?
Hanhausen. And it's hard to spell, but it's a German dialect of a last name. But, I mean, there's been films made about Hanhausen, and there, you know, being Hitler's personal psychic.
Okay, gotcha.
There was another guy who was called Wolf who wrote, well, didn't write, but he was written about and called Zodiac and the Swastika, who gave Hitler all of his charts and so on and so on. A lot of people felt that Wolf was the man with no face, but my research showed that it was Hanhausen.
Okay, so it's not that he didn't have a face, it's just nobody saw him. He was doing the Obi-Wan Kenobi thing.
Exactly, exactly. Gotcha. He was the man with no face. Nobody really saw him or knew who he was. And he was supposedly, you know, assassinated, and it's all this intrigue, and that never happened. And he worked with, you know, the Russians at that point. And from there, even up into the 80s, you know, through, you know, they had the American Cold War. And he wasn't alive then, but his legacy led into where we're at today with things.
I got another one for you. The Genome Project. Now, I got a bunch of information about you, and I wanted to be sure and ask, what is the Genome Project?
Well, it's not this altruistic experiment just to map the DNA in the human cellular structure. From what I'm to understand it to be, is very satanic in nature, that it is a precursor to the singularity, and it's being backed up by the singularists and people that have the big money that want to push it, and they're located in San Francisco, and they have a Singularity Institute backing up to that. But the Genome Project is technology that is coming in our current time that has already been established as of 2011, and it is mapped out all of the DNA within a human structure. And they are going to mirror that with nanocellular technology in the future. So then you will have the DNA, which will be embedded with the nanoorganisms, and then you would have your singularity, where you would be injected into the worldwide mind, which would create an entire different human organism. So we're messing, well, we are not, but the scientists that are into this, who are more Satanists, are fabricating and creating, and they're disrupting the normal human organism in order to recreate it in an image that they want to have. So they are actually experimenting on it, and it's going on in foreign countries, in animals, and so on and so on. It's going on here as well. But it's been very kept, you know, under the radar. But it is, the Genome Project is not this altruistic, we're mapping the DNA. It is the essential precursor to the singularity. And it's kind of like, you know, going back into that whole Terminator concept. You know how they play with time in the Terminator films, where you'll have, you know, the one roboticist who discovered the arm, and he has it in his safe and so on, and that leads to that. That is what the Genome Project is.
Understood and appreciated. I'll tell you what, when we come back, keeping in mind there may be some people listening who are under the age of 18, go to bed. Because I want to ask Winter Lake, what goes on during a satanic ritual? I've never been to one. Don't plan to attend, but I would like to know what happens there. And we'll be back with him after this break on Coast to Coast AM. Delighted to be in with you tonight, and delighted to be speaking with Winter Lake, practicing Satanist. I tell you what, I think we better talk to William. He's trucking in Illinois, and I'll tell you what, his ear is probably getting pretty hot by now, and if he's not using his Bluetooth. Sorry to keep you on hold so long, my man.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I'm enjoying the show. Appreciate both of you. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah,
we appreciate you too, man. What's on your mind?
Well, I want to ask Winter, what can you tell me about Freemasonry? Is it satanic or the Christian or what? And then I have another question for you, if you can answer that one.
Freemasonry, you know, it's very convoluted at this point. It evolved from the Knights Templars, who were at the Israel, again, going into Jerusalem. So there's an entire history there in the shortcut of things. But currently, they're more just a boys' club. They're generally older because they don't really get a lot of new members. Their rituals are more just kind of something to do, and they enjoy them. I wouldn't personally say they're satanic, although many in the group that are known as the Master Masons, known as the MMs, and I know them, I know a few of them, and there are hundreds and thousands of them, but they are they're not to be messed with. They take people out. They destroy them through the law. The master masons within the group still hold the power and the money.
That makes perfect sense. And what's your other question since you held so long? Come on, hit us quick.
How can I tell if I have a curse on me or my family? Because there's a lot of things I try to accomplish and I come close, but I can't really, you know, get them done.
Well, Bill, I'm reading you. You know, ironically enough, I did get that vibe that there's something not right with you. It's something that's going on that you've, it's not a karma thing. It's probably more ancestral. Something maybe some people did and they projected against you and you've just had hard luck. And it's no matter of work, and you are a worker, you're not just some layabout, but no matter what work is going to get you out from under it, you're going to need some kind of supernatural intervention. So just chat with me off page and we'll go from there, all right?
All right, thanks a lot. I appreciate you very much, Sher William. And Ed in L.A., you've been hanging a while too, my brother. Come on up on the main deck and talk to us.
Yes, I completely and totally disagree with everything that Winter Lake has said this evening.
Troublemaker, eh?
Yes, no, I am. I am a Christian. I am a spiritual receiver and a world event psychic. The predictions that Winter Lake has made is completely and totally inaccurate. Osama bin Laden was not killed and was not buried at sea. He's very much alive, singing like a bird with the CIA. The body that you saw of Muammar Gaddafi in Libya was a double. He was ferried out of Libya by the Chinese transport planes that were bringing in food for the Libyans.
Now, Ed, this is some strong stuff, man.
What I tell you is true. Not only that, the remote viewing that Winter Lake had in regards to 2040, it was a deception made by Lucifer, Satan, and the devil, which is actually a view that he had of hell itself. There is, and I'm going to challenge you, Winter Lake, if you're not fearful, I want you to go to YouTube.com and look at a video called Suleiman Edmondson, Visitation from Jesus Christ, where Jesus Christ took this man into hell, and he describes what he had seen, and also he describes where Jesus Christ initiated judgment on humanity, and in 2000, and this happened in 1990, in 2008, when he was in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, Jesus Christ approached him the second time and showed him.
But I mean, you're deviating, and I want to address the thing about Muammar. Muammar had an entire army looking for him, sir. They went out. They wanted his head. The odds of what you're talking about is not psychometry. It has nothing to do with remote viewing. It has everything to do with the ground and what is occurring with human nature, okay? If I had an army that was looking to cut my head off, they're going to find me. I disagree with you. I think Muammar, even though he had several billion dollars and a loving family and a sexy Ukrainian nurse, and, you know, he was a Hollywood movie god or something, or like a rock star that he wanted to project, he ended up trashed, shot, and drug around by a truck. So I'm sorry. I don't think that it is something even remotely in idyllic with psychic work, and it has everything to do with just the world. Osama bin Laden, a lot of people, again, I'm already getting disagreements. I have heard the argument that Osama is alive, that SEAL Team 6 covered it up. They didn't. They went in there. They found him. They wanted to kill him, and that was it. There was no, we want to vet him or find something. That's all nonsense. They did kill him, and they did whatever they needed to do, and that was the end, and that was their goal.
Well, you know, supposedly the, I don't have the details on the names, but supposedly whoever capped him, killed him, sorry, is supposed to go on trial for this. Now, I don't know who's trying him exactly, but that's the latest little blurb in the news. And, you know, I think this guy was a CIA asset. He ran the Mujahideen in Afghanistan when the Russians were over there. And I don't know. I think they just used him as the poster boy for... my personal feeling is that he was used and then disposed of.
I mean, everything the Americans, you know, in America is doing is always work through third parties. I mean, Osama's daughter lives up on the West Side, New York City. You know, she's a socialite. So, you know, it's anything can happen with these people. They have billions of dollars. You know, they can do whatever they want. They don't have lives like you or I. You know, they.
No.
You know, and Osama died rich, you know, and Osama died in whatever, watching his 20-inch regular television, drinking Coca-Cola. And where did he get all that? Those were all due to the fact of American, you know, improvisation and growth and invention. You know, all these things that these people have in these third world countries, which I feel Pakistan is all due to us. And due to our innovation, us meaning the symbology of America, or that idea that a person can come from nothing and make something of himself, and it's something they wish to bring down, unless it's some odd thing. But yeah, he was used, he was sold out, he was vetted in Africa, he was doing all kinds of construction work, and then he turned into this zealot against the Russians, and he was an asset during that time, because if Russia had taken Afghanistan, they would have had the trillion in mineral rights, which exist in those mountains, which is the only reason why we're there, because they have some of the most rarest minerals you could ever see, and most of them are used in our computers. So we want it, and we have the power, and so we're going to take it, and we're going to police it with our drones, and the Illuminatus within the government are seeking that. And once his term was up, he was discarded, and it was on to the next one.
It seems to me that, you know, I wonder sometimes, Winter, just how dangerous these... I mean, this is the only program that I know of. It's the only program in existence that's pretty much laissez-faire. You know, we just pretty much talk about whatever we want here. And as I've said many times, I don't know which is less discreet, the question or the answer to some of these questions. But nobody wanted these guys to talk. Nobody wanted Gaddafi to talk. Nobody wanted Bin Laden to talk. And if you don't want somebody to talk, what do? You whack them.
You whack them. Look at Noriega. He was supposed to get a trial. He was the voodoo king. What happened to him?
Sitting around a jail cell somewhere in red underwear.
Huh?
Isn't it? He's sitting around somewhere in his red underwear, you know?
Yeah,
they made a big deal out of his red underwear. Big deal. I've had red underwear before. Yeah.
But that's distraction. See, that's what people will remember, especially in Western culture. It's that simplicity of distraction is so amazing in media.
You know,
media is no longer what it, it's just a spin. It's infotainment. It's hilarious. And you watch the subtleties and the indoctrinations and the brainwashings that are very biased and very contorted. And it has to do with the personalities of the interviewers, you know, as they conduct their business. And it's all a matter of that. But that's neither here nor there.
Well, let's say some of these guys really are working for the dark force.
Yeah.
I mean, let's say that they really are. Let's say they just really, they're really of that group that just really doesn't care about the afterlife, couldn't care less.
Correct.
Feel that there are many realms that, they can believe whatever they want. The problem with that, of course, is that the truth does not require one's belief in it to exist. So they may be wrong. But is it possible that the ridiculous events, this childishness in at all levels of government, this brutality? We have an administration now which, Holder's going to have to answer some questions over that stupid gun running thing. I mean, I would like for somebody to tell me who is the genius that concocted that stupid plan to ship weapons down to the drug cartel so we can track them. Well, you can track them real easy. They leave them laying at the crime scenes.
Gungate.
So, gun gate. There's a good AK
gun gate,
gate,
baby. I'm telling you, it has. It's all distraction. The cartels are hand in hand with the crew, and it's about the big money. I've got cartels that contact me. I'm not, rubbing my shoulder or patting myself on the back. People want psychic readings, and I get it from both ends. And they're always wanting to know, hey, when can we bring it over or what's up? But they're all in bed. They're recruiting children, and the gun gate thing is a joke.
It's a complete joke.
Let's mark these guns. It's just, I don't even know what that is. That's just money. That's just some guy, like Holder, trying to grab a dollar,
Somebody's grabbing the dollar somewhere.
Grabbing a dollar.
We got to take a break here. We really do. But when we come back, I want to talk to you about remote influencing, and more to the point, I would like for you to perhaps explore with us the possibility that these ridiculous events are actually being remote influenced from some other dimension, or at least a dimension unknown to us at present. So let's get into that in a minute. I'm John B. Wells. We're talking with Winter Lake tonight, and this is the one and only Coast to Coast AM. John B. Wells in with you tonight, and we're talking with Winter Lake. And say, what about that? What is remote influencing, and is this... Are these heads of state, these people who are behaving, in my opinion, like idiots, are they being influenced from outside this particular dimension, or is that just too fanciful of a question?
Well, it's very interesting. Again, going back into World War II with a man with no face and his brooches with Stalin. Stalin was seriously into this. And it was carried on by his predecessors, the idea that in talking about heads of state and other ways, and I'll talk about the Grand Ois scheme, and then we'll get into the dimensional concept. But in talking about the man with no face, the idea was, and even through electrostatic generators, they were able to project mind influencing on other individuals through certain magnetic waves, and it actually occurred to the American embassy in Russia, where they had set up across the street, and they were projecting these waves to make people, do their bidding and control them. And it's somewhat subtly documented, but on that scale, they took it to that. They were trying to influence people to do things, and they were trying to bring influence to, our president and affect him and affect our heads of state through psychics projecting their mind. But essentially, from my standpoint, as I may have spoke about earlier, is that not even in need of a electromagnetic generator, which is an enhancement of the psychic ability of remote influencing. If you have somebody with a lesser will as a psychic, you can identify that. Okay. And I can identify it. I don't typically remote influence unless I really truly want to, or I want to win in court or whatever I want to do. But in the sense of things is that you overmind another, where you will telepathically project thoughts or ideas or background from that individual into their mind, causing distraction or influence, and you can overcome them. It's easy to do with catatonics or people that are totally blank of their own substance with their own mind. And from there, they will carry out your act or your desire. You can project your thoughts into them, and maniacally, you could say, pick up this scalpel, stab that person, or something as simple like that, or set up triggers in their mindset, where once they come across something or a phone call is made, they become the parallax. They become your extension, and they carry out your will. And this was all an experimentation phase within Russia, again, after that World War II period and on into the 80s until now. And it was heavily induced. And they had some serious accomplishments with it. And I myself have serious accomplishments with it as well.
How hard is it to learn how to do it?
Or
is it a natural thing?
You really have to have a natural vibe and desire to want to do it. Typically, it takes a lot of energy to do it, and it's, you would have to have a serious goal. And for you or I mean, I have done it. I'm not a saint. I have done it to get what I want, typically to win in court or influence a judge or the attorney or whatever. But, you know, these other types, you know, in going into it, other individuals that may want to do it is to typically assassinate politicians.
Oh, great.
Yeah, they would use it to assassinate politicians, where you would influence an emotionally disturbed person to carry out an act of violence against your enemy, or an act of violence against a political opponent.
Now, going back to the Satanist thing, which we've kind of drifted in and out of, but it's all part of it. It's a matrix.
It is.
Now you say you're. Well, I hate to even say this because I don't know, it's just me, but you say you pretty much reject Jesus and you reject the karma train thing.
Yes.
Is what kind of payback? I mean, certainly Satan exacts a price for anything he may do on your behalf. I mean, but this is simplistic thinking because I don't think in the circles that you think in. But I acknowledge that these circles exist and there is, you know, veracity to them. So what kind of payback, if somebody does a remote influence attack, if you will, what kind of payback are they looking at for that? What kind of price are they going to pay for this, particularly if it works?
It would be, you know, in a perfect world, if karma existed, as I personally don't believe karma exists, they would have some sort of retribution where something would be exacted upon them similar to what they had brought on others or through their psychic actions.
But they'll do it anyway because they feel like, well, if I have to pay a price to accomplish this, then I'm okay with it?
Yes, and absolutely. You know, I mean, I'll give you a secret example, and this is kind of odd because I know this person. During the initial senatorial election of Barack Obama in the state of Illinois, he was up against a golden boy named Ryan, who was married to this superstar, not a superstar, but she was in Star Trek and so on and so on. Obama wanted to win, and so he was having a hard time. So what he did was he exposed Ryan's divorce settlement with this woman, which made him into a sex freak. Now, how he was able to do that is through my opinion, through an influence of his own and through money and power to get himself to his own goals.
Understood. That's excellent. Listen, thanks for staying with us for this long, and let's catch a few calls after the top of the hour, which is coming up. Winter Lake, practicing Satanist and a rational man. You know, As Satanists go, eh, Winter? We'll be back on Coast to Coast AM. Thanks for being with us.